And you're listening to Unusual Sources here on 93.3 CFMU FM. Just to let you know, yes, we do have Zafar Bangash on the line, talk about a number of international issues. Zafar Bangash from Toronto, from the Islamic community, a leader, and we're going to be bringing him very shortly. And we're back here on Unusual Sources. Let's see if we have Zafar Bangash on the line. Zafar, are you with us right now?
Hello, Brandon. Yes, I am.
Oh, great. Thanks. How are you doing today, Zafar?
I'm great. Thank you. It's good to be with you.
It's good to see you again. I think the last time I saw you at was a demonstration in Toronto.
That's right. That was December 27th for the rally for Gaza. That was the day that last year or the year before, December 27, 2008, that Israel had launched its invasion and attack of Gaza Strip. So that was to commemorate that anniversary.
Yes, that was a very successful rally.
Absolutely. There were thousands of people. Yes, yes, it was wonderful. And it was good to see you and a number of other people from Hamilton.
Yes, and we let people know about it, just like we like to do on our program. We tell everyone about upcoming events. And I understand you have an upcoming event, another thing that people can attend in Toronto. This is going to be occurring on February 14th, and I think that's very close to York's reading week, so a lot of students might be able to attend if they're not in class anymore.
That's correct. Yes, February 14th is Sunday, but the good thing is that the following day, Monday, is a holiday, at least in Ontario. So it's family day, and people don't really have to worry about getting back to work. And our theme for the conference is, actually the overall title is Media War on Islam, but it's also about the media myths about Islam. Your listeners would know that, regrettably, in the last several years, there have been a great deal of distortions about Islam and Muslims, and every kind of negative spin has been put on news that may be the most innocuous, but somehow it is presented in a very negative light. So we are going to deconstruct all of this. We are going to analyze this whole phenomenon and see how this occurs, why this occurs, and what impact it has on Muslims both in North America as well as in the rest of the world.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, there's this media myths about Iran event coming up with Phil Wileto in Hamilton and possibly in Toronto later on. But, you know, there's all sorts of myths flying around. And when we talk more generally about what's being thrown around here in the Canadian context or in the United States or even Europe generally, it's clear that with that Swiss minaret example that there's a lot of fear-mongering and distortion and disinformation. So I understand you're trying to clear the waters and say, hey, this is what things are about. And, you know, maybe we have to take a closer look about what's being spread around in the media.
Exactly. You mentioned Iran, and I think that's one of the areas that we definitely would be touching on, as well as the situation in Palestine, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and so on. But since Iran is being targeted today as a result of its principled stand that it is within its right to enrich uranium, because Iran is a member of the signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, the NPT, and that allows it under Article 4 to enrich uranium. And in fact, Article 4 calls on member states to support a signatory to facilitate the enriching of uranium for peaceful purposes. And although nobody, not even the International Atomic Energy Agency, has presented an iota of evidence that Iran has done anything outside the framework of its obligations to the NPT and IAEA, and yet it is being targeted and all kinds of lies are being told about Iran. Incidentally, exactly the same kinds of lies that were being spun about Iraq back in August of 2002.
Yes, well, we remember those black and white photos.
Absolutely, exactly. When, you know, even Condoleezza Rice was talking about mushroom clouds and
the trucks too.
Exactly, and Tony Blair was talking about, you know, Saddam Hussein being only 45 minutes away from obliterating the world, and then we had that horrible example of Colin Powell on February the 5th, 2003. Showing photographs of trucks at the UN Security Council and claiming that these were mobile chemical labs, etc., when in fact there was no such thing. These were all fabricated lies that were being spun about Iraq because the U.S. under George Bush had decided to attack Iraq at that time.
And a lot of jokes were made about that, too, and about how Bush said, you know, can't get fooled again, fool me twice and all that. But it looks like we're getting fooled twice, because after all that laughing about how Bush, you know, conned us into war and how Tony Blair knew that there were no weapons before he started on the campaign, you know, they said they're going to go to war no matter what, right? There was that Downing Street memos that have come out. They were planning on doing it and saying whatever they had to get that war. People are very upset about that, but when they try to tell us about an Iranian weapons of mass destruction program, people forget that we were lied to a few short years ago about Iraq. And I think I just looking in the news today, just today's news, you get an entire barrage of claims from United States in particular about the Iranian enrichment. So they're saying that they're now moving to have the technology to enrich to 20%, which could eventually enable them to enrich to 80%, which is a nuclear enrichment, and so on. So every capability development in this program is being pitched as, you know, the eventual bomb that everyone has to be worried about.
Exactly. I mean, you know, all kinds of fantastic scenarios are being painted, and they're allowing their imaginations to run wild. And it's not only their imaginations, but they are deliberately misleading people to conjure up these images of fear and threat to world peace, when in fact there is no such thing. You know, your listeners, I'm sure many of them would know that Iran has, in the last 250 years, never attacked any country. In the last 250 years. And I think we need to ask whether the United States can make a claim like that. I mean, I can recall from the start of the Second World War all the way up to the present time, there isn't a single year when the U.S. has not been involved in some military attack in one place or another, or its forces have not been involved in military aggression against people around the world. And yet, here we have a situation in which it is the U.S. that is making this allegation against Iran and, of course, Israel, which has its own very checkered history of aggressions against other people and other countries. And yet, Iran is being demonized. And there have also been, over the last several months, a number of these so-called U.S. think tanks that have been churning out reports as well as holding conferences. And the overriding theme of these conferences is to find justifications for attacking Iran. I mean, only, you know, less than a week ago, for instance, Daniel Pipes wrote an article in National Review in which he said that since Obama's ratings have declined, the way for him to increase his ratings would be to attack Iran. I mean, it's absolutely incredible.
Well, you know, I got to tell you what I just heard from John Bolton. This was on Fox News, our favorite news program. So John Bolton said, either Iran gets nukes or Israel or somebody else uses military force to stop it. So that's what John Bolton, one of the people who sold us the war in Iraq, is telling us. So the same people that got us into the mess we're in today are trying to push it again. And you have Netanyahu making claims about the Iranian nuclear program in Israel once again. So, yeah, the pressure is coming from those sectors that you said. And the other thing of interest here is when you talk about U.S. aggression and you talk about nuclear states, well, we have what's happening in Pakistan right now. And I guess the big news is how there were those three American soldiers killed on the ground in Pakistan by that improvised explosive device. So here they are. This is an undeclared war. There's no declaration of war on Pakistan. There's not a lot of official oversight onto what's happening. But they have advisors on the ground. They have trainers on the ground. They have military robotic drones operating. They have flights, U.S. military aircraft flights over Pakistan. They have contractors on the ground, more contractors, I'm told, than there are police in areas of Pakistan. So
that is correct, yes. Now, for several years, the U.S. had been flatly denying that there are any American troops in Pakistan. As recently as July of last year, during his visit to Pakistan, Richard Holbrook, the special envoy for Pakistan and Afghanistan, was asked point blank in Islamabad by a journalist whether there are any American troops in Afghanistan, and he said none whatsoever. And here we are, we find that there are American soldiers operating in Pakistan, and these are not only hired contractors, these are American special forces operating over there, and they are operating in a region which is in the tribal area, of Pakistan and a very unstable area. So one needs to ask, what are these American soldiers doing over there? In addition to Blackwater operatives, of whom there are more than 3,000 operating in Pakistan, this has been reported extensively in the Pakistani media. There is great discomfort and unease among the Pakistani public about the presence of Blackwater operatives, because they have been carrying out illegal activities. They have, they are driving around in unregistered vehicles. They carry unlicensed weapons, forbidden weapons. They have been caught near Pakistan's nuclear facilities. They have been caught near other sensitive installations. They have even refused to abide by Pakistani laws, in the sense that when, if let's say there is a police checkpoint and the police are carrying out any investigations or vehicle searches, the Blackwater operatives flatly refuse to allow their vehicles to be searched. And they go around bullying these police officers right in Pakistan. Now, I want to ask, you know, whether anybody in the U.S. would tolerate this behavior if, let's say, there were Pakistani hired contractors operating in the U.S., whether the U.S. police would tolerate this kind of behavior.
Yes.
I mean, even, you know, innocent citizens, innocent people in the U.S. are arrested, harassed, humiliated, beaten up, strip searched. You know, we have these racial profilings going on now at airports and other places, and yet we have a situation in Pakistan where American hired contractors from Blackwater and other organizations operating totally above the law.
Yes.
And they get support from the U.S. Embassy in Islamabad.
Well, I'm just thinking that this culture of impunity also existed in Iraq and was the cause of many tensions between people in Iraq and the Iraqi government and the Blackwater forces, who had to, I think, move out or rename themselves or some such thing. But yes, I know that the Pakistan situation and especially Afghanistan, both escalations are heating up, and we're going to have to talk about that in more detail on future programs. But before we go, and I know the sports program is coming in, I thought we should let people know about the event that's happening on February 14th in Toronto. If people want to go to the event, which is about the general myths about Islam in this case, what are the details for that event?
Okay. The program will start at 6 p.m. It will be held at the Islamic Society of York Region, which is located at 1380 Stouffville Road in Richmond Hill, that Stouffville and Leslie Street intersection. And some of our guest speakers are Professor Michael Kiefer from Guelph University. He's an author and a journalist. He's also an expert on the media. James Clark of the Toronto Coalition to Stop the War would be there, as would be Muammar Khalid, the president of the Canadian Arab Federation, and a number of others. And we would also show a short video about some of the negative presentation in the media about Islam and Muslims, as well as about Iran, Afghanistan, Palestine, etc. So it definitely would be an interesting program, and we encourage your listeners to come and join us. They'll find it very useful, very helpful, and they'll meet other people, like-minded people, people who are also concerned about these issues. So it'll be good for people to participate in this program.
Wow, well, that's great, and I'll make sure people can get the information about that. So, Zafar, thanks once again for being on our program today.
It's my great pleasure, Brandon.